And without further ado, I will ask Rabbi Benny to start the class on the Shirei HaMaalot.
Thank you very much, Susan. Thanks for the whole year that you helped. And I'm pleased to start with the shiur on Shir HaMa'alot, the Songs of the Essence, which is a huge topic. A beautiful topic, wonderful songs, masterpiece of biblical poetry, and even more so, a masterpiece of feelings, emotions for returning from the exile, living in Eretz Yisrael, building up a life there. It's really a wonderful, wonderful piece, these 15 Mizmorim. And I want to show the beauty that they are actually part, not only 15 beautiful shiurim, as we see here, but they are part of a whole context. We spoke about the two units last shiur, Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel, the long chapter 119, which is actually longer. The chapter 119 with 176 Mizmorim is longer than the 15 Shiurim we are talking about today. But 15 Shiurim are still 10% of Sefer Tehillim. And I want to show that they are a unit, they are a story, they are a most beautiful story. They are the story of Am Yisrael living in the exile, coming back, building gradually up our life in Eretz Yisrael. How wonderful that we can talk about these Mizmorim as a text reflecting history, reflecting Zionism, reflecting religious inspiration, a religious fire of Zion, that we can talk about that. And Baruch Hashem, we experience in our generation Shivat Zion personally. So I think these are a wonderful example, not only to show the beauty of the Mizmorim, which Parshanut is my focus. They are a wonderful opportunity to show a short text according to the contextual interpretation with wonderful new insights, which is very relevant for our life. And I would hope that Rabbanim, teachers in the school system, that this unit will be taught, should be taught. This overview, which we saw now several times, we explain it gradually. It's very, very full, because the fifth book is very, very full. So I want to show the, again, summarize briefly what we saw over the last shiurim. And we look at the unit. We had a Hallel at the very beginning of that. These are all the analogies which I will not present here, but I want to present the different levels of Hallel, praising right at the beginning of the fifth book. It says, Hodul Hashem Kitov, and it says in the Mizmor, Uvemoshav Zkenim Yehallelu, all the people who returned to Eretz Israel praise Hashem for the return to Zion. That's the first personal experience of Hallel Vahodah. And afterwards, it is King David who comes back as the hero of Zion. We come back to the city of David. He is the Balabait. He is the local hero. And we talk not only that King David leads us, it's also everybody in person can be like Hashem in the twin Psalms 111, 112. We dedicated the Shiur. Not only individuals can be like God, as Am Yisrael, as a nation, we are like him in the Egyptian Hallel, which have clearly Hallel and Hoda'ah. And another Hallel and Hoda'ah we saw last week in chapter 119, where we get not only closer to the temple in the Egyptian Hallel from Egypt to the temple, we got closer to the message. What is in the center of the Beit HaMikdash of the temple? The tablets from Sinai. So let's learn, once we met the Kohen, let's learn the Torah from the priests, from the Kohanim. That's what we did in 119. And now we learn the Torah. Now we experience we are back home in Eretz Yisrael. And the Songs of Essence, 120 to 130, 134, they actually reflect beautifully the return of Am Yisrael to Zion as a result of having learned the Torah. We came back from the exile to Jerusalem, from Mitzrayim to Jerusalem. We learned the Torah, and now we experience the experience We enjoy the experience. We came back. We sing about it, and we are happy to live there. There is a lot of agriculture. There is a lot of experiences to be in Eretz Yisrael and to enjoy being back in Eretz Yisrael. That's another level. Once we did that and we meet the Kohen in 132, we meet the Kohen and we sit together with the Kohen. We sit with the Kohen like brothers, with the, can you imagine, with the Aaron, the chief, the Kohen Gadol, and we go home. 134, we will see these Mizmorim. It's a beautiful poetic experience, really an experience with songs that the Shir HaMaalot sings. At the end, we should see that in Halel HaGadol, we actually not only, that is the topic of next week, we not only enjoyed coming back from Egypt to Yerushalayim, Mimitzrayim Yerushalayim, we actually have in the Halel HaGadol a very special experience that now we live in Yerushalayim, and we opened the doors, we opened the gates of the temple for all other people who want to come there, Jews and non-Jews alike. That's the topic of next Shiur, to understand the difference, the development, the dynamic between the Egyptian Hallel and the Great Hallel. How interestingly, topic for next Shiur, both is present in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and actually the next week's Shiur will be a very good, hopefully, a preparation for the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So these are the experience we have afterwards, the unit, we will talk about it later, but I want to show it already here, the beautiful flow of these Mizmorim as discussed. And we show the first Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel, from exile to Yerushalayim. The Hallel HaGadol is being in Yerushalayim and having an impact on the environment. And the last Hallel, Psukei Dezimra, is not only we came back and invite others, we actually enjoy to sing with the entire universe the big Hallel of the end of Sefer Tehillim. And that is the closing and the highlight of the entire book, as we shall see later. These are the three Hallel units, which are a very, very beautiful insight of the Parshanot, the contextual interpretation, which really make these shiurim these units meaningful. Without that, these three units are quite repetitive, not clear why they appear in different places, not clear why something is repeated, something is in between, it comes back. We will talk about these three units of the Hallel at a later point. I want to give some promo now, because when we learn it, I want that we are aware of these changes. That's the same idea. For me, it's very helpful to see this, the same idea from different perspectives that we can see in a very simplified way. We have here also the English version from left to right, that the Hallel goes in like a crescendo. We came back from the exile, the personal story, rescued from the exile. We sing that we came back from Mitzrayim to Yerushalayim. And here we give praise and thanksgiving that we come back and invite everybody. We are really back home. We are home in Yerushalayim, because in between we learned the Torah and we got citizens of Yerushalayim, proud and happy citizens in the Shir HaMaalot. Not only just came back from the exile, no, now we are there. We are at home and we say the same Hallel again as the Hallel HaGadol. That is the beautiful story. And I hope in next week's shiur, we can appreciate the beautiful differences between Hallel HaMitzri here and the Hallel HaGadol, which have very, very similar terms, very, very close, but very unique differences which tell the whole story. That is a fascinating insight of the three Hallel units presented here with the text. And they take us also to Psukei Dezimra, which is the last piece of the entire book, not only of the fifth book. And these three units are the core, are the DNA of the fifth book. We keep saying Hallel on different level, at different stages. One Hallel prepares the next Hallel and so forth, till the entire universe is part of that. And I think that is a beautiful unit that we shall repeat when we come to Hallel HaGadol and to Psukei Dezimra, but I hope you are aware already now and got an idea about these developments. Now let's come to the unit of the 15 Mizmorim. It's true that we look at 10% of the 150 chapters, but you see they are very short. All of them have an average of 6.7 Mizmorim. Some of them are even much shorter, like those two at the end. One is a little bit longer, but the average is 6.7 Shiurim times 15 is about 100 Mizmorim. The previous Mizmor had 176. So it's not that much if we compare it to the previous Shi'ur. How are they structured? And I know it's hard to read every word here, but there is a beauty to look at the Mizmorim all together from the bird's vision. And if we look at them from this way, with the interpretation of the contextual structure, we see how outstandingly clear they are structured. We have three units of five Mizmorim, and each of them takes us to a higher place. The first unit, let's talk first about formal aspects, and afterwards we should talk about the message, the content. We have three units of five Mizmorim, and each unit in the middle, 122, 127, and 132 in the middle, each of them, as you see here, each of them are in the center of the unit, because in the first time we talk about the return from the exile, on the way to the exile to Yerushalayim, we are in Yerushalayim. And once we are in Yerushalayim, we enjoy being there and we remember the past. And afterwards we celebrate, Baruch Hashem, we came back. And we remember all the obstacles we had in the past, but we made it to come back. That's the first unit. I will repeat this structure, the story, which is a lot. And I thought it's a good exercise to look at them in the next three slides in different ways, how to see and to recognize the story. That is a very formal slide. The next unit says that we came back. And we enjoy, here we are in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, not only that we are in Jerusalem, we enjoy that more people are coming back and all the nations see we are coming back. And who is building, helping us to build up Jerusalem? Shir HaMa'alot LiShlomo. It is nobody else than King Solomon who is building, because he used to build it historically. And now we come back at the time of Shivat Zion, of the return of Zion, the second temple. So let's take Shlomo as a role model of the hero who built Jerusalem. And we not only enjoy to build the city with Shlomo, every family enjoys to be there. And again, we remember the past, what wonderful way we did back to Zion from the exile. And now in the last unit, we enjoy that we deepen our religious experience. I will show that on the next slide. If we look at this unit very formally, we should see it comes under after 119. And it comes before the unit of Halel HaGadol we will talk about next week. And we should see there is a very clear transition at the end of chapter 119, where we say, Baruch Hashem, we learned the Torah, and we hate liars, and we love to be together and to keep saying and learning and reflecting on the Torah. And at the beginning of 120, we have exactly the same ideas. As if this neighborhood or the adjacent places from 119, talking about the Torah and the songs of the essence, they have a connection. Because we learned in 119 how to build our personality as Ben Torah, being connected to the Torah. Since we learn to talk honestly and to talk shalom and to be enthusiastic about the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's exactly what we do in 120, that we take it to the next level, not only academically learning the Torah, but also to build Jerusalem with exactly the same values. We should see the same words. And if at the end we sit with the Kohanim, who sing with us, we sit with them and they bless us and we go home. The take-home message is that we can continue the experience of the of this unit. We can take it home. We have really a take-home message. We should elaborate that very soon. And here, I show you the same idea, not with the text. I think it's easier to recognize it with the pictures. I had the honor to work with a very talented artist, Shlomi Chelka, who showed these. No, sorry, before we come to that, we have here more structure of the three units. And we see what I just explained before, coming back from the exile to Jerusalem, the first five, being in Eretz Yisrael, and to be ready that all other people come back to Yerushalayim. And we have a religious development and growth to be in Yerushalayim, to build Yerushalayim, and to deepen our relationship and the religious experience. These are the three units. And if we look at the text, which is 15 chapters, we see the flow here from the exile to here we start in the exile. And at the end, the destination is we came back from the exile and we are in Yerushalayim with the Kohanim. There's a very clear beginning. And at the end, it says like ways, you reached your destination. In the middle of the middle unit, the middle mizmor is Lishlomo. Only one other chapter is dedicated to Shlomo. It is chapter 72 at the end of the second book, which is closing the life of King David. Shlomo is back here and he talks and says, let's build Jerusalem. The way it was built by after David, it will be built now. Very interestingly, 51 times the name of Hashem is mentioned in all the 15 chapters of these Mizmorim. 24 times at the beginning, 24 times from 128 to the end, and 3 times in the middle, telling us that there is a very clear religious development. We have an experience before when we built with Shlomo. In our times, when we rebuild Yerushalayim, that is the turning point that where we live, what our mission is. So these are very, very clear structures looking at the overview. And we have here the past in the middle section of the beginning, 122. We remember here all Am Yisrael came and King David was sitting here and sitting for justice. That was in the past. We come back. Shlomo is in the middle. It's the present. And in the future, Ke'ilu, King David, is going in the temple. That never happened because he didn't build it. But in our imagination and the experience of coming back, King David is there, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and he invites us into the Beit HaMikdash, into the temple, and he says, here the children will continue the legacy of the past, the same words of Eidut. And Yashvu Kisot and David are mentioned here. Here it is the past. How wonderful we get there, where in the past King David was sitting. And at the end it says, it's a promise in the future, the children will keep sitting there. So we have a clear story in every central mizmor, in the first unit of five, in the second unit of five, and in the last one. If you read the Mizmorim with this scheme in mind, you will see how beautifully it is structured. We have at the beginning, I was praying to you out of my distress in the diaspora, in the exile. And here it says, I was far away that I was calling to you, but now I want really to build up my relationship to Hashem. And again, it says, Karati vayaneni karaticha Hashem, the same word. And here we have the same word as well, 124 and 129. At the end of the first and second unit, they give a reflection. We made it back to Eretz Yisrael. We made it back to build in Eretz Yisrael our home, Yomarna Yisrael. The word Yomarna Yisrael appears only 3 times in the Bible. 2 times here, and at the end of the Egyptian Hallel in 118, where it says, Yomarna Yisrael ki leolam chasdo. We thank in 128 for all God's help. And here we explain it. That was a preview, that was a promo there, but here we explain it in more depth. And here we have the 15 beautiful drawings from Shlomi Cherka. I repeat it again. And you will see, hopefully, I hope that helps to understand and get an idea, feel the atmosphere of these mizmorim. Again, the 15 mizmorim. The first one tells you, and I called this little boy, I called him Hillel, because he says Hallel. You see here is far away in the exile. And he prays to Hashem and hopes to see a way back, a little bit of light. The light helps him to pray. And he comes back and walks back, and he gets closer to Yerushalayim. He makes his aliyah. You will read it in 121. And once he is there, he enjoys to meet the place where King David was sitting in the pass, and to see that here the temple was built, Samachti Bomrimli Beit Hashem Nelech, and here is back. He walks through Jewish history, back from the exile, and he is there. And now he keeps praying, and he says, I will deepen my relationship to Hashem like a slave to his master. I will be in Eretz Israel. And he thinks back of all the way he did when he came back, recognizing King David. 122 and 124 are dedicated to King David, Shir HaMaalot and Shlomo. In the second unit of five Mizmorim, he is back and he sits in Yerushalayim and says, how beautiful are the mountains around Yerushalayim. And he sees how beautiful the mountains are, and we are back home. The mountains protect the city. Not only is the city protected, the mountains, the city is the place where they came back. Even all the other nations will recognize, that's a well-known mizmor, Shir HaMaalot B'Shuv Hashem Shivat Zion Ha'inu K'Cholmim. And all the nations will congratulate Hashem, Az Yomru B'Goyim, and we will say, Higdil Hashem Lasot Im Ele, Higdil Hashem Lasot Imanu. So it's really a flow getting back, not only on a personal level, on a national level. And Shlomo will keep building Yerushalayim. Hillel is part of it. He builds it. And it's not only the build of the city and of the nation that comes back. Everybody sits now, Ashrei kol yireh Hashem haolech bidrachav, and the children sit around his table in the rebuilt city of Jerusalem. And again, thinking backwards, how wonderful the way we made. Wouldn't we have had the opportunity to come back? We would still be in the exile and in the diaspora and suffer there. Good for us that Hashem helped us to come back. That was the second unit. The third unit begins with a vidui. Mima makim kraticha Hashem. And Hashem, please forgive us because we made mistakes, we made sins. Please let us pray to you and get closer. And these two mizmorim are closely related. 131 says, King David helps us and we get closer to him and we enter with King David into the temple. And we see the priest. That never happened because King David never built the Beit HaMikdash. It's only his son who did it, but it was his vision. And now everything flows together in poetry, non-historical ideas can come very beautifully together. And he enters in the Mikdash. It's the longest mizmor. Now we understand why it has much more chapters, because that's the highlight. The center of the third unit tells us the highlight of the entire 15 unit of the 15 mizmorei Shir HaMaalot. And we walk out from there, and how happy are we that we can sit, not with King David, it's dedicated to him, but we can sit with the priest, with the Kohen HaGadol, a beautiful imagination that we sit with the Kohen, we are inspired from his friendship, from sitting together, and now we have to make our own way. And we leave Yerushalayim, we get the blessing, Yevarechecha Adonai Mitzion, Yoseh Shamayim Ba'aretz, and we go home with the take-home message that we are blessed by the Kohanim who sit in the Mikdash, where we had the pleasure to be part of their experience. That is the story. And I know that these pictures look like for children, But I think it's very helpful if you see it this way. Everything can be improved, of course. But here you can tell a whole story, which makes this unit so clear and such a clear overview. We spoke about the Kohanim, and here another insight, which is like an overriding theme of the unit 120, 134. A lot is mentioned in these 15 Mizmorim from the Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests, which is described in Bamidbar Vav. Here we have the whole text of Yavarecha Adonai v'Yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai Pana v'Lecha v'Yivoneka, Yisa Adonai Pana v'Lecha v'Yasem Lecha Shalom. These three psukim have 3, 5, 7 words, built beautifully like a pyramid, getting broader. They have exactly 15, 20, and 25 words. The 15 letters, the 15 words, they are built in a way that in the middle you see Hashem Panav Elecha, God will show his face to you, Hashem Panav Elecha, built beautifully. And the end point is Shalom. Birkat Shalom of the Kohanim. And that's exactly this motif. If you look at the words at the beginning, he says, I lived in the diaspora with people who hate Shalom. Rabot shachna nafshi im sonei Shalom. Ani Shalom v'chi adaber heim ala milchama. I want peace, but you will not get the peace in the diaspora. But once he comes back to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is explained, the same letters, Shin Lamed Mem, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Yehi Shalom b'cheilef, leman achai v'rei adabrana Shalom b'ch. And he is happy that he came to Yerushalayim where he will find peace. And when he comes back to Yerushalayim, which is protected from all the mountains around it, he feels Shalom al Yisrael. The Shalom he couldn't find in the exile, he can find it when he comes back. And he can find it when he says in 128, Yevorach Gaver, Yevarechecha Hashem, Shalom al Yisrael. Yevarechecha Hashem are just the same words as we have in the blessing of the priests. So it is really like a midrash of Birkat Kohanim. And we have many, many other words, which I will not elaborate, bracha and shmira, nasati, a lot of very typical words. And it was first Leon Liebreich, a very interesting scholar, some 60, 70 years ago, who wrote about the songs of the ascents and the priestly blessing. I elaborated that a little bit in the UK Torah. And I think it is not only that the same words appear. If we look at these 15 units according to the contextual interpretation, the word shalom, as I try to show, is growing along these 15 units. Liebreich did not point that out. He was not talking about contextual interpretation. He spoke about the analogy between the priestly blessing and this unit. But if we take a look back to the songs of the essence, we actually see that the story incorporates the ideas of Birkat Kohanim in the most beautiful poetic way. We grow with the Birkat Kohanim during our return, during the process of coming back. So what is the message of the 15 songs? Why are they called Shirei HaMa'alot? And there are different explanations, which I will present here briefly. It is the song of the ascents. Who came back? There are various explanations. Is it coming back in Yerushalayim that we go up the 15 steps, which were, according to the Mishnayot and Yosef ben Matityahu, Josephus Flavius, there were 15 steps between the two parts of the temple. That's, of course, a very beautiful place to present the return of 15 Mizmorim. That is what Chazal say. But it might be that it has different levels, different meanings. Radak says it's not only these 15 steps, it's actually coming back. And if we look at the Pasuk in Nehemiah, where it says, V'negdam alu al ma'alot ir David, when they came back and walked all the steps in the city of David till they came to the walls. Me'ale Beit David, a beautiful scene. You are in the city of David. You see the home of David, his palace, history. But David Melech Israel Chai V'Kayam. And you come back, and that's where they sing. So it is a very, very beautiful place. Imagine you are exactly of the place of King David. We should go back to it. The next Shiur should be there in the city of David. And we see the place of King David, King David Melech Israel Chai V'Kayam. We walk upstairs with him from his palace to the palace of Hashem in the temple. There cannot be a better place to experience that. And that was, of course, a wonderful place at the time of the return to Zion. There are other explanations, which I will not elaborate here. But here we see the 15 stairs. And these 15 stairs are actually reflected in the Haggadah, Kama ma'alot tovot lamakom aleinu. Ilu hotzianu minitzayim. That's another song which we have in the Haggadah, which is really, this song was sung here when they brought the first fruits to Yerushalayim in the Mikdash. The 15 lines of Kama ma'alot tovot lamakom aleinu. I want to share with you here a fascinating Midrash. This Midrash seems to make a big mistake. But the Midrash doesn't make a mistake. We make a mistake if we think the Midrash made a mistake. The Midrash has a very good sense of humor and a very deep sense of humor. I want to read you the Midrash. What's the meaning of Shirei HaMa'alot? The songs of getting higher, Aliyah. Shir HaMa'alot El Adonai Batzarat Ali, says the Midrash, Keshe Yisrael Olim, Einam Olim Ma'ala Achat. Ela lema'alot harbe en olim. Once Am Yisrael come back and they make an upgrade, they get higher, it doesn't happen at one time. Growth is a process. Growth takes place at different levels and different stages. Einan olim lema'alach. Ela lema'alot harbe en olim. It are many, many steps. How do we know that? That's according to the Pasuk. Atata ale ma'ala ma'ala. You will get higher and higher. Ukesha'alu, when they really did it, ma'alot ma'alot hen olim, lechach ne'emar shira ma'alot. They grow gradually. There is no better midrash, no better source that Chachamim explain, our sages. Shir ha-ma'alot is an ongoing process of growth. It is a narrative. So I know that the researcher of the contextual interpretation, they take credit for this approach, but there is no better place than this. There is no better source than this Midrash that they say you are getting higher and higher. The Midrash says it clearly. Ata ta'ale mala mala, and I can show that the 15 units, the 15 chapters take me from one place to the next one, as I tried to show you before in the story. The Midrash quotes a pasuk which says exactly the opposite. In chapter 28 in Dvarim, it says, you will be punished and your enemies will go higher and higher. But the Midrash misquotes this pasuk. Is that a mistake? No. The Midrash says, if we were punished once and our enemies got higher, now when you come back, you will get higher. So the Midrash is very sharp to say the bad experience is now transformed in a positive experience. That is really the concept of bibliotherapy, that we, with the text, with reading the text, we recognize the narrative and we come back physically, geographically, but also spiritually. I want to read now, no, before I come to read the Midrash, I want to show you how much it is connected to the time of coming back to Yerushalayim at the Second Temple period. If we say Shir HaMa'alot B'Shuv Hashem Et Shivat Zion, Hayinu Kecholmim, the song that we say every Adamil, Shabbatot and Chagim, when we come back to Zion, we are like dreamers. A friend told me once, if you want to say a little bit, might be a provocative idea, you have to bring a Midrash or a Gematria, that works. So I checked, what is the Gematria of Shivat Zion? The Gematria of Shivat Zion, the time of the return from the exile, which is the period historically of Ezra and Nehemiah, is mentioned here. And in Gematria, the word Shivat Zion is exactly Shivat Zion. Why do I say that? Because people are nervous to say, King David wrote it. How can King David live much later? The only time in the Bible that the term Shivat Zion is mentioned is here. So here we know that at the time of Shivat Zion, we have exactly the same words which Nehemiah was praying. Tihi na oznecha kashevet. Tihi na oznecha kashevet. And here it says, Tihiena oznecha kashuvot. The same term, only twice. We spoke about that last time in Halel HaMitzri. Hatzlichana, it is only twice that the word Hatzlichana appears together with Ana Hashem in Nehemiah and here. That is exactly a reflection when Nehemiah came back and Am Yisrael came back. We wanted to experience King David who lived in Sion. He comes back and we experience, and it says in Sefer Ezra that they were singing all the songs which were established once by King David. So it's a clear intertextual connection. That's the way to explain it. Oh, but Sefer Tehillim supposed to be written by King David? Yes, it's his inspiration who brought Ezra and Nehemiah to come back and to sing according to King David's songs. The Midrash is very clear about it in one place that King David wrote the Midrash, that King David wrote the entire book. And in another place, it says King David was one of the people who wrote it, but it was actually finalized, edited by Ezra at a latest stage. So I have that also in English. So what we actually see from this Midrash, which is really an important connection to explain, it was King David's idea to build Jerusalem and to establish in Jerusalem with his son Shlomo a place for Am Yisrael. But it was Ezra who was, according to another Midrash, part of the editorial board of Sefer Tehillim. So it's the post-exilic renaissance in after the return to Zion, which was built according to King David. There is no contradiction between these two concepts. I want to start now to read very briefly a few Mizmorim. At the very beginning, the poet prays the following text, Shir HaMa'alot, El Adonai Batzarata Li Karati Vayaneni. Adonai Hatzila Nafshi Misfat Sheker, Milashon Remiya, Mayiten Lecha Umayosif Lecha. Lashon Remiya, Chitzei Gibor Shenunim Im Gachalei Retamim. Oyali Kigarti Meshech, Shachanti Im Orlei Kedar, Rabat Shachna La Nafshi, עם שונא שלום. אני שלום, וכי אדבר הימה למלחמה. We have here the nations which are called Meshech and Kedar. Meshech means the translation, yes, these are two nations which were part of the destruction of Am Yisrael in the exile. But Meshech means a long time, Meshech Zman. Kedar means black. So there might be much more into it than just these names. I have to keep it short here, but what I want to show, when the Mizmor talks about his coming back, it is experience of his soul, of his personal spiritual life. And he sees the liars, the lie, but he wants peace. He cannot stay there, he goes back. And here we have an analogy with a lot of psukim in Yirmiyahu and in Yechezkel. Just before the exile, or at the beginning of the exile, we have prophecies talking about Meshech and Kedar. Meshech, the dark place, a long place I was away, and it was very dark there, im Orlei Kedar. But we have an interesting analogy, which is Sefer Yonah, where in Yonah, when he ran away from his mission to Nineveh, and he was swallowed by the big fish, he prays finally after 3 days and says, Karati mitzarali el Adonai vayanim. That's exactly the beginning of Shir HaMa'alot. the first line in Shir HaMaalot quotes Sefer Yonah. That's interesting. Nowhere else we have these six words appearing together. Yes, the flow is different. What's the meaning of this flow? And I think here we have an outstanding example to understand the beauty of poetry, which I would like to elaborate that on the next slide. If we look at the whole story, coming back, the first line is Sefer Yonah. Why is the first line of this experience connected to Yonah? Let me take you to another place in the Bible, not directly connected. You should see it is connected. Ben or Jacob showed that the same word when Am Yisrael left Egypt, when Moshe was called to go to Pharaoh, Hashem tells Moshe, "Ve'ata lecha ve'ishlachacha el Pharaoh," and take Moshe, go back to, I will send you, and go to Pharaoh and take Am Yisrael out there. The word lecha ve'ishlachacha is mentioned, according to Beno Yaakov's finding, only when Yosef was sent by his father to see his brothers in Shechem. Halo achecha roim b'Shechem, lecha ve'ishlachacha alehem. Chapter 37 in Bereshit. Why is it a connection? Then Yaakov explains, if that was the mission which caused the exile, that was the mission which brings the end to the exile. A beautiful observation by Ben Yaakov, and I think that is true for Shirei HaMaalot. If we come back, we pray as Sefer Yonah was praying when he was in the, when he was there. Why did he run away? And I cannot elaborate now a shiur on Sefer Yonah, but you will find I presented that in my paper, which you see here in Hebrew. Sefer Yonah was running away from Nineveh because he knew in Nineveh are the enemies of the Jewish people, of enemies of the Jewish people, Nebuchadnezzar, which will eventually destroy Am Yisrael. He didn't want to go there and pray for them. That was the real dilemma of Yonah. That's the message of his story. Hashem told him, no, if they make tshuva, I have mercy with everybody. He didn't want to agree. If we say now the same words from Sefer Yonah, that is a powerful, meaningful story. We say once Yonah was running away because he didn't want to accept the exile. He didn't want to accept that those who punish us will be successful and we will go to the exile. That was the reason Yonah was praying. That was the reason Yonah was running away from his mission. When we say now Shir HaMaalot, we say to Hashem in our prayer, Hashem, we close a big circle. Yonah didn't want that to be real. And we come back and we are now resolving the exile. We come back to Eretz Yisrael. That is a very, very meaningful intertextual connection. We see that at the end of chapter 119, we have the same words that we have here. I compare here 119 and 120. We have the word karati, aneni, shekel, saneti, shalom, nafshi, edotecha. We have exactly the same, it's called the semantic field. At the end of 119, when we come back, we say Hashem. We cannot, at here we say we want truth with the Torah and strength with the Torah. In chapter 120, we say we are back. We want to fulfill it here when we come back. The Torah brings us back. So that is a beautiful connection between the unit of 120 to 134, which actually starts in the praise for the Torah. The Torah gives us the strength to think in a way that we come back to Yerushalayim. Let's move on now from chapter 120, which is the beginning of the entire unit and the beginning of the first unit of five Mizmorim. And I want to take you now to the next Mizmor, 126, which is well known. Here we not only on a personal level, we got back the unit of the first five, it is on a national level. We got back and we thank for that. How interesting that this Mizmor is said every Shabbat before the end of the meal, Birkat HaMazon, and we say we could eat, we could drink, and we say in a few minutes the Birkat HaMazon. We remember why we eat, because we want to get back to Eretz Yisrael. That's for Shabbat and Chagim. If it's during the weekday, we have Al Narot Bavel, which we will learn in 2 weeks when we are in the diaspora. So that is the message and the picture by Shlomi Cherka. Let's read the Mizmor. Shir HaMa'alot, B'shuv Adonai et Shiva Tzion Hayinu Kecholmim. Az Yimale Shochinu Ulleshoneinu Rina. Az Yomru Bagoyim Higdil Adonai Lasot Im Eile. Higdil Adonai Lasot Iman Hayinu Smechim. Shuv Adonai et Shevitenu Ka'afikim Banegev. Hazorim Bedima Berina Yiktzoru. הלוך ילך ובכו נושא משך הזרה. בו יבוא ברינה נושא אלומותיו. You have the summary at the beginning, the return to Zion, that God's miracle will be respected in the eyes of the nation, and the success will be the future settlement in the land. Why is it important that the nations are part of that? It's a very interesting idea that the return to Zion will not happen without the approval of the nations. The nations were not really always the big supporters of Am Yisrael, for sure not in the exile. So we have here interesting connections within the Mizmor, and we have very interesting connections to the Mizmor before. But let's focus on this idea, the nations talk. And when the nations talk, we will understand what is our miracle. We wouldn't understand our miracle just by ourselves. Az yomru vagoyim higdil Adonai lasot im ele. Afterwards we say, higdil Adonai lasot imanu hayinu smechim. We are really happy that we are recognized and respected by the nations for what God did for us. It is a recognition of the nations support us, and that's the reason we go back. We understand better our own schut to come back when we have the nations telling us this message. That's a very powerful meaning, a very powerful message. If we go back to intertextual connections, we will find that in Sefer Yoel, this idea is expressed very clearly. In Sefer Yoel, when the nations come and try to punish us, it says also, "Velo eten etchem ot chirpa vagoyim ki higdil lasot," and you will come back. It's exactly the same word which appear only in Shir HaMa'alot here and there. So these ideas are very unique. If once we were punished to go to the exile, but Hashem will help us to come back now. And that is what Yoel promised, that Hashem will bring us back. Now we thank for what Hashem really did, and we thank that he brought us back. There are beautiful connections to other psukim in the Tanakh. But let's pay attention that the word shuv, shivat, shaviteinu, have different meanings. It can mean the return, we come back. It can mean shevi, the captivity. So the three words in Hebrew, which the word shvut, shevi, shivat, they have the same word in Hebrew, has three different meanings. Very hard to translate that to English. It's impossible because there are three meanings. What's the idea? It's not in order to confuse us. It's the meaning. What was once captivity in the exile will now be transformed to the return to Zion. Shivat Zion is going to be Shviteinu is going to be Shivat Zion. That is the message of this Mizmor. I want to point out a very interesting term that is mentioned in the last Pasuk, Vav. He who weeps as he walks to and from, carrying his sack of seeds. So he is engaged in agricultural work. What is the word Meshe saying here? It is the sack of the seeds. But we had the words Meshech before in chapter 120. In chapter 120, Meshech was the term for a nation, our enemies, where we survived a hard time in the exile, in the diaspora. Oyali kigarti Meshech. Shachanti im Olei Kedar. And now, the same term of Meshech, the place where we suffered in the exile, is transformed. The agriculture in Eretz Yisrael will be rebuilt. So there is a wonderful work, play of words, from Gavti Meshech in the exile, but now it is Moseh Meshech Hazara. What a beautiful transformation. There was a poet in the time of Ibn Ezra, of Moshe Ibn Ezra, the son of Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra. His name was Meir ben Elazar, who wrote beautiful poems in connection, the same word at the end. And he put it like that. Look how beautifully he connects in his poem, chapter 120 and chapter 126. Om b'merchak nafots yizak, oyali kigarti meshech. Od yaron nose katsir, im ata yivke nose meshech. And the translation is, a nation who was once far away in the diaspora, how terrible we live in Meshech, the name of this nation. They will in the future sing and praise when they see the agriculture in Eretz Yisrael is thriving. He was crying because he is touched and moved that he can build up Eretz Yisrael. What a beautiful meaning. I think he recognized that and put it in his beautiful words. Before I continue with chapter 133 and 4, let me just point out one beautiful explanation to the tree of an olive. It says here in chapter 128, your sons, they will be like olive saplings around your table. Why is this picture that sons are like olives? If you go and watch a nice olive tree, a very, very old one, we see something very unique to the olive tree. That the fruits, they fall down next here when the tree was in the middle, and the tree in the middle died. But surrounding this tree, all these little olives around it, they keep growing. And that is what you see here. Five people can walk into the olive tree, which is gone. But it is still a beautiful, even bigger olive tree. That's the symbol of Banecha Kishtilei Zeiti. The father and the fathers and David HaMelech and the previous generation, they started. And the next generation keep building the tree. The middle part is gone, died, but the tree keeps living. That is exactly the agricultural message of Banecha Kishtilei Zeitim. That's the idea of Shir HaMaalot, that the idea of the agriculture continue and have a beautiful message for those who come back. The last unit of five Mizmorim, they describe in the middle that King David is in the temple and Hillel meets here King David in the temple with all the Kohanim. He prepares himself from his sins, and afterwards he enjoys to sit with the Kohanim, and before he goes home, he enjoys the blessing from the priests. Let's read now the last two Mizmorim. Shir HaMaalot LeDavid, Hinei Matov U'Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, Kashemen Atov Al HaRosh Yored Al HaZakan, Zikan Aharon Sheyored Al Pi Midotav, כתל חרמון שיורד על הררי ציון, כי שם ציווה אדוני את הברכה, חיים עד עולם. This mizmor describes how they sit together with Aaron, and he has the blessing life in person. And that is described to the beautiful geography of Eretz Israel, from the Hermon to Jerusalem. The next chapter continues, Shir HaMaalot, הנה ברכו את אדוני כל עבדי אדוני, העומדים בבית אדוני בלילות. שאו ידיכם קודש וברכו את אדוני, יברך את אדוני מציון, עושה שמיים וארץ. It's a call to the Kohanim to bless God. ברכת כהנים. And they say ברכת כהנים. Instead of יברך את השם וישמרך, they say יברך את השם מציון, עושה שמיים וארץ. Yevarechecha Hashem is the same word, mitzion, locally in Zion, but it is for the entire universe, universal, Osir Shamayim Ba'aretz. And as I said, 133 sitting together with the Kohanim, and 134 going home with the take-home message, we are blessed by the Kohanim in Yerushalayim. So I have not the time to elaborate the beautiful little messages within these Mizmorim, but I want to show you something very beautiful at these connections. Oseh Shamayim Ba'aretz is a universal motif which comes through the entire Shir HaMa'alot. It's repeated several times. And if we say it at the end, we say, we came back under 20. We made it back that the entire nations come back under 26. But at the end, the blessing of Zion is a blind for the entire world. Birkat Kohanim are not only the Kohanim, which we just met. It is a Birkat Kohanim, which goes out and is spread to the entire world. That is the flow which keeps us so beautifully in the connection of Sefer Tehillim. We of Shir HaMa'alot. We spoke about 119 and 120, and we shall see next time the flow from we saw today the flow of Hallel and Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel. We came back from Mitzrayim to Yerushalayim. Now we will be back Hallel HaGodol. Next week we'll talk about it. We live in Yerushalayim and build Yerushalayim and are blessed and bless in Yerushalayim. In between learning the Torah and enjoying to be proud citizens and happy citizens in Yerushalayim on an agricultural level, very practical. That is the link between Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGadol, a beautiful link, which is linked at the beginning and afterwards to these units. We should see next week how the beginning of Hallel HaGadol just continues. Here we have the priests in the Mikdash, exactly the same words in 135. The beginning of the Hallel HaGadol, exactly the same words are repeated. Meaning, whatever we experience in the temple, in a very warm and personal and inspired atmosphere with the Kohanim, that's what we are going to take outside, to take home, when we continue the story of the fifth book. So we spoke about the song of the Shirei HaMa'alot. I tried to show the structure, the message, and the story, the narrative. Their location between these two units. We compared it to the priestly blessing, Librei, and we showed intertextuality to Ezra and Nehemiah. Next time in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should talk about the Hallel HaGadol, which is part of our shiurim before the Haggadah Shel Pesach. That is a Tehillim shiur, and it's very good, outstanding timing that talking about Hallel HaGadol in our Tehillim syllabus is exactly the preparation to understand in the Haggadah the two units of Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel, and the Hallel HaGadol, which I will try to elaborate in the next week. Thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to hear comments.
Thank you so much, Dr. Benny. This was a really amazing shiur. Having been on Har HaBayit, I can say that now with your explanation and the vision of the steps, I'm just missing the Levim and the Kohanim to complete the picture. There are a few comments and questions. One was basically that while there are many Hallels, as you mentioned, Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGadol, at the beginning, which we didn't really talk about, the intellectual and emotional sides are different, and the aesthetic sides as well. So that was one comment. And the other comment that I'm going to say also, now maybe you could address both of them, is what did you mean when you mentioned that Shalom grows in these Mizmorim? Can you address that?
Okay, so I'm not sure I understood the first question. If you could repeat it, I had a hard time. If you could tell it again, please. I can start with the. I can start with the. Oops. The word shalom, that is actually something I learned from a lot of commentaries by Benno Jakob. Big scholar of Parshanut. If Liebreich says in his beautiful short paper, 1955, there are many, many analogies between priestly blessing and Shir HaMaalot, it's a beautiful observation. The priesthood blessing, Shir HaMaalot, look how many connections. That's one message. But I want to take it to a further step. You can see here that the word Shalom is mentioned 7 times in Shirei HaMaalot. Liebreich didn't elaborate that. And I want to elaborate that the word Shalom, by saying the word Shalom, by saying the 15 Mizmorim of the Songs of the Ascents, we actually grow in our concept of peace. At the beginning, it is the lack of peace in the diaspora, because the enemies in chapter 120, they hate peace. Ani Shalom, I want peace. V'chi adaber hem ala milchama, but they want only war. So I run away and I get back to Yerushalayim. And the word, the name Yerushalayim, is very the same sound. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is explained as the word, as a name where the place is for Shalom. I will stay with my brothers. I'm at home. It's not only I and my brothers, 122. It is the entire nation. Shalom al Israel in 124. And once they came back, it is in 128. Again, Shalom al Israel, because we are back. So you see the word Shalom, it's not enough to say it appears in the blessing of the priests and also in Shir HaMaalot. In Shir HaMaalot, it has a role of growth in 8 different steps. Did that answer the second question? So I have to go back.
Yes, that was excellent. The first question was more of a comment that while it may appear that I think at the beginning of the very beginning of the class you mentioned the different Hallels. Someone made a comment that even if it's there are many, you know. There are 2 Hallels, that there are different sides to the Hallel, but I think that you're going to address that really in the next class and not in this class.
Yes. So I can say it briefly. I intend, when I talk about Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel, I want to prepare, there is another Hallel coming soon. And that is what I tried to show in this summary slide, which is shown here, these units of Hallel. And we will elaborate that in more detail, might be even better here. You see it I show it here in the overview. We have the 3 Hallel units here, the Egyptian Hallel, the Hallel HaGadol, and the Psukei Dezemar at the end. I pointed them out here again. And that is the big slide, which I will explain next week, but I want you to see it here. The Egyptian Hallel, back from the exile, Mitzrayim, from our exodus, back to Yerushalayim. That's what we discussed, Hallel HaMitzrayim. That's what we'll say in the Seder. After we learned the Torah, because we came to the temple, we met the Kohen. It says in 118, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Berachnuchem Mibeit Hashem. He meets the Kohen there. And the Kohen teaches him something. What does he teach him? The Torah in 119. And once he taught and learned the Torah, he will build with the strength and the inspiration from the Torah. He's going to build the city and the homeland, Shir HaMaalot. That was the connection 119 to 120, which I showed before. Once we did that and we learned from the Kohanim and go home, we are inspired to reread again the Hallel HaMitzri, but with a new focus. The same Hallel HaGadol, the Hallel HaGadol is the same on many terms. I will leave that for next week, otherwise I have nothing to tell you. You should see that Hallel HaGadol repeats that. But the last Hallel, which has different words, continues in Hallelujah, Hallelujah 10 times, another Hallel. And there are beautiful connections. I call this topic the 3 Hallel units. And we should see how they shape beautifully the structure of the 5th book. Let's leave that for next time. That was a promo. What I would like to ask you now is to announce that next week's Shiur should talk about Halel HaGadol, 135 and 136. They are short mizmorim, and we want to compare it to Halel HaMitzri, and we want to understand how were they integrated in the Seder Haggadah in a very, very powerful way. We leave that for next week.
Excellent. Thank you so very much. The last question, if we just have two more minutes before the next Shi'ur, and people want to take a break, is you had mentioned the gematria of Shivat Zion, but I don't think you went into the detail of what gematria it was. So I don't know if you're just looking at the word Shivat Zion or more.
Let me explain you. That was a stupid joke.
Ah.
The joke was not very powerful, because what I wanted to say that sometimes here, I think that the return to Zion is written at the time of Shivat Zion. If you say today in Hebrew, Shivat Zion, it's the historical period when they came back at the time in Ezra and Nehemiah, Zechariah and Malachi, the time when they came back. That is Shivat Zion, Tkufat Shivat Zion. And to say that Tehillim, written by King David, talks about Shivat Zion sounds like strange, because Sefer Tehillim was written by King David, everybody would say. So a guy told me, if you want to prove it, bring a gematria. So if, of course, I took the same letters to prove that Shivat Zion is a time of Shivat Zion. But the more intelligent proof is that in the time of Shivat Zion, Ezra and Nehemiah, they use the same words in Tehillim, and Tehillim uses the same words. So we don't know which text came first and which one is the second, which one is the source and which one is the donor and which one is the recipient of these two texts. But we can say there is a similarity. But if I know that Chazal actually say that King the Sefer Tehillim, yes, it was written according to the Gemara by David, who wrote Sefer Tehillim, there is another Midrash who says 10 people prepared the book of Tehillim. One of them is David. And afterwards, it was other people, the Kohanim, the singers in the temple. And the last one was Ezra. So we should not be nervous to say that David is the inspiring mind for Tehillim. He is. That is pointed out in Baba Batra. But we see also that the Midrash was not afraid to say, obviously, Ezra is also an active part of Sefer Tehillim, because at a post-exilic time, when they did the Renaissance after their return to Zion, everything was rebuilt according to the inspiration by King David. So the poor joke that Shivat Zion is actually the time of Shivat Zion should tell us, if we talk today historically about the period, the generation of Shivat Zion, it is Shivat Zion. The songs of Ascent, they sing the song of Shivat Zion. They use the words of Shivat Zion. They are Shivat Zion. To prove that, I proved it in a more rational, in a more scientific way by these beautiful analogies. But I think we have to be aware that Shivat Zion is the time of Shivat Zion.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
My apologies for stupid jokes. I'm happy you didn't understand. I will take that seriously for next time.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Bani, and thank you everyone for joining us. And just another reminder that Sunday night, Rabbi Bani will be giving, or Sunday afternoon, depending on where you are, 12:30, 6:30 in Israel. Rabbi Bani will be giving a class on